Dan Markell and Wendy Adelson were a happily married couple with two adorable little boys until they weren't. What followed was a nasty divorce and an epic custody battle that would eventually pull Wendy's overprotective family into the fray. And when Dan is gunned down in his garage, the truth about his brutal murder is crazier than 10 blockbuster movies. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week I'm putting a spotlight on part one of the case I'm calling All in the Family. Daniel Eric Markell was born on October 9, 1972 in Montreal to Ruth and Phil Markell. The family, which also included Daniel's sister Shelley, later moved to an affluent part of Toronto, and as his mother told 2020 about her son, quote, "He was the epitome of Dennis the Menace. He was blonde, he was cute, and he was rambunctious and wild." The Markell family was Jewish, and as Ruth shared with 2020, her son's faith was incredibly important to him. Not just the rituals, but the intellectual aspects as well. As a little boy, Dan, as he preferred to be called, harbored dreams of becoming a rabbi, but his ambitions later turned to being a lawyer. Dan comes to the States to attend college at Harvard University, where he studied politics and philosophy and eventually graduated magna cum laude. He received a Dorot Fellowship, which allowed him to complete graduate studies at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He would go on to get his master's degree in political theory from Emmanuel College in Cambridge, in London, before finally graduating from Harvard Law School in 2001. After he graduated, Dan moved to D.C. to work for a small law firm, where in a very short amount of time, he was on track to becoming a partner. Fate had other plans, though. Specifically, a law school student named Wendy Adelson. Wendy was 7 years younger than Dan, and at the time they met, was still working on finishing up law school herself. A native of Miami and the youngest of three children, Wendy's father, Harvey, was a dentist, and her mother, Donna, was a former teacher who worked as a bookkeeper for her husband's dental practice. Wendy's friend, Tova Walsh, described Wendy to 2020 as, quote, "fun and full of joy. She's a lovely person who just has boundless enthusiasm and energy and sense of humor." Writer Matthew Scher told 2020 that Wendy was known to be, quote, "extremely charismatic, extremely outgoing, goofy to a certain extent." She even appeared on the game show The Weakest Link. Fun fact, her mom Donna also appeared as a contestant on a game show, this one, The Wheel of Fortune, back in the 80s. Dan and Wendy meet on JDate, which is a dating site specifically geared to Jewish singles. The connection is instant, even though they start off in a long-distance relationship with Dan working in D.C. and Wendy attending law school at the University of Miami. Dan decides that his heart belongs to Wendy in Florida, not practicing law in D.C. And when Florida State University in Tallahassee makes him an offer, he can't refuse it. And he heads south to become a law professor at the FSU College of Law. In a happy surprise, Wendy is also offered a position as a law professor at FSU, and with all of the stars aligning for the couple, it seems like the perfect time to take their relationship to the next level. And in February of 2006, they become engaged. While no marriage has smooth sailing all of the time, not many start off with conflict at the wedding. Dan wanted a completely kosher wedding, extending to the menu that would be served at the reception, meaning that the food would adhere to Jewish dietary law. So Wendy's parents, who though they didn't pay for the entire wedding, they did pay for the caterer, who did not serve a kosher meal. In fact, nothing about the wedding followed kosher customs, which broke Dan's heart. And as crime writer Steve Miller mused to 2020, quote, "it would set the table for things that developed later on, and in fact, played a part in that divide between the in-laws and Daniel Markell." After the wedding, Dan and Wendy settle into life in Tallahassee, which, as Jennifer Portman, who was formerly with the Tallahassee Democrat, told 2020, quote, "has a sleepy Southern sensibility to it. She likened it to Alabama or Georgia, which is a mite bit different from the sexy, fast-paced, candy-colored neon of Miami, where Wendy is from." Nevertheless, Dan and Wendy put down roots in Tallahassee, eventually welcoming two sons, Benjamin in 2009 and Lincoln in 2010. That same year, Dan becomes a tenured professor. So on the surface, it seems as though life could not be better for Daniel Markell. He's got two boys who, by all accounts, he is absolutely crazy about. He's got job security. Everything should be wonderful, except his marriage has completely fallen apart. The biggest point of contention was Wendy's extreme unhappiness with living in Tallahassee. She is over Tally, as the city is affectionately known, and she wants to go home to Miami, where her family is, where her friends are. It is her happy place. Another wedge between the couple was Dan's shadow. Remember, they're both lawyers slash law professors, but Dan is a bit of a superstar. Or as his friend, fellow law professor Ethan Lieb told 2020, quote, "I'm not sure there's a better known law professor. Dan Markell is known by everybody." So Dan is working lots of hours teaching, he's publishing, there's speaking engagements, he's internationally known. While Wendy's career is just kind of there. She doesn't feel as though she is her husband's equal. Dan already has tenure. She doesn't. Everybody knows Dan. They don't know her. And coupled with the stresses of two kids who are less than 2 years apart, Wendy is feeling left behind. She commented in a podcast that she did for a creative writing class that, quote, "I thought I could cheat the system and marry a man I lacked passionate love for because, hey, didn't that die anyway during marriage?" Wendy further details her unhappiness in a novel she writes called This Is Our Story, with a main character whose discontent seems to mirror her own. She's hurt when Dan doesn't read the book, sowing ever more seeds of misery. In 2012, Dan takes a trip to New York and while he's there, meets up with his friend Ethan, who shares with 2020 that Dan tells him, quote, he thinks his marriage is unwinding, that she's disengaged, fairly depressed. Dan has no idea how right he is about Wendy being disengaged, because while he's in New York, Wendy launches Operation Get Out of This Marriage, hiring moving trucks, moving money from their bank accounts, and even pocketing a family heirloom diamond ring that belonged to Dan, before she takes the kids and moves back home with her parents. Dan comes home to an empty house, completely blindsided by what his wife has done. Wendy has taken everything in the house. The only furniture she left behind, their bed. And right on top, divorce papers. Dan and Wendy's friends are flabbergasted by Wendy's stealth attack. But Wendy's friend, Tova Walsh, told 2020 that she thought Dan was probably emotionally abusive to Wendy and that her attorney likely advised Wendy to leave the way she did because it was the safest way for her to do so. Dan is determined to get Wendy back, making any number of romantic gestures, including buying her flowers, getting down on bended knee, and asking her, please, please come home and come back to me. But as Dan's friend Ethan Lieb said to 2020, Wendy was clear. She was done with the marriage, and once Wendy told Dan, quote, absolutely no chance I'm ever coming back, did Dan finally realize that his marriage was over. Dan and Wendy finalized their divorce in 2013. So initially, I guess Wendy had this idea that maybe she would have sole custody, which meant that she could take the boys and move back to Miami and everybody lives happily ever after. Well, not so fast. The couple were granted a 50-50 custody agreement, which means Wendy has to stay in Tallahassee, which she is livid about. And this is where things start to get ugly. Jennifer Portman noted to 2020, quote, the acrimony and the fighting over the two boys was extreme. It could not have been more personal, more nasty. By all accounts, Dan is desperate to stay a part of his son's lives. Wendy, it seems, wants the exact opposite because she is not taking this joint custody ruling lying down. Except every motion she filed in court, every argument she made to keep Dan away from the kids, soundly rejected. There was no getting around it. They all have to stay in Tallahassee. Wendy is furious. Also incensed, her mother Donna, who is ticked, which is putting it very mildly, that her daughter and grandchildren won't be close to her after all. Thickening the plot is that according to what Dan's attorney Stephen Webster told 2020, Dan told him that Donna didn't like him. And in fact, one of the kids even told Dan, quote, Grandma called you stupid. Donna, in fact, is not someone you want to tangle with. She is obsessed with her kids, micromanaging every aspect of their lives. Remember when I said earlier that she was on the Wheel of Fortune back in the day? Well, she told Pat Sajak that her job was to serve as domestic coordinator for the family, right down to the family dog. As Dan's friend David Latt bluntly said to Dateline, quote, Donna Adelson is like your meddling mother on steroids. Okay, you don't want to mess with that. And it is likely one reason why Wendy's oldest brother, Robert, is not close with the family and makes his home far, far away in New York. However, Wendy is quite close with her other brother, Charlie. So Donna, it seems, in her quest to successfully complete Operation Get Her Grandchildren to South Florida, is ready to go to war with Dan and recruits her daughter as a soldier in the battle, urging her via emails to, quote, take control of your life and not to let Gibbers, I guess this is a nickname she has for Dan, and I'm guessing it's not a term of endearment, not to let him think he's won anything by having you remain in Tallahassee, 8 hours away from the only family you have. Let's show this blank what will make him absolutely miserable. Donna goes on to say, quote, I know you have a job that keeps you very busy. However, the rest of your life, and consequently Dad's, mine, and yes, even Charlie's, that's Wendy's brother, will be affected by how well you can perform before July 31st. This was a court date she had. You can be a good actress when you want to. I've seen you in action. You need to put on the performance of your life. She also urges Wendy to exploit Dan's, quote, weak points, religion, money, control. And one more dagger that Donna would love to sink between Dan's eyes. She commands Wendy to inform Jewish Dan that, quote, your children will be baptized in the Catholic Church. Whoa. She pulls no punches, Donna Adelson. But it seems as though there was no love lost on Dan's side either. So he knows that Donna is saying these derogatory things about him to his boys, and he can't have that. He files a motion to bar Donna from spending any unsupervised time with the two boys. Donna, not surprising, escalates things and goes so far as to tell Wendy to tell Dan they'll give him $1 million to let them all move to Miami. Dan's not going for it, though. Nice try, Donna. Despite all of the vitriol, Dan and Wendy do seem to turn the temperature down and even broach dating others. Wendy meets Jeffrey Lacasse, or Jeff, who also works at FSU and, oddly, resembles Dan. Glasses, clean cut. Dan, meanwhile, begins dating Amy Adler, who is a professor at NYU Law. As friends tell 2020, Dan was really happy with Amy, with Ethan, his friend Ethan, commenting that he told Dan, quote, the divorce no longer defines you. You have to walk away from this negativity. July 18th, 2014. It's just after 11 a.m. Dan is in his garage, on the phone with his mother, Ruth, who he talks to every day. Moments after they hung up, he's on the phone with a friend. The friend hears a voice and some muffled movements, and then a gunshot. A neighbor then sees a car pull out of Dan's driveway and take off down the street. The neighbor rushes to the house and sees the shattered driver's side window of Dan's black Honda Accord. The motor is running. Dan is inside. Dan is covered in blood. He's been shot at point-blank range in the head. He is unable to respond to the neighbor. Authorities get a hold of Wendy and tell her she needs to come to the police station because there has been a shooting at Dan's house, and he's been taken to the hospital and that he is not going to survive. Wendy bursts into tears. She's just sobbing, nearly inconsolable. And during the interview, she is incredibly cooperative, letting investigators look at her phone, swab her hands for gunshot residue, and take pictures of her. As I said, she is extremely upset, extremely emotional, and she breaks down several times during the interview. But I couldn't help but wonder, is Wendy putting on the performance of her lifetime? Remember that her mom, Donna, is like, you are an amazing actress, and so is Wendy being sincere in her grief? Meanwhile, Dan has been fighting for his life since he was brought into the hospital, but the following morning, not even 24 hours after he was gunned down in his garage, he loses the battle and he dies. Dan Markell was 41 years old. People are gutted by Dan's horrific murder, with mourners packing his memorial service, shattered by their grief. The story also gets significant media coverage across Florida, not only because who Dan is, but because the brutal nature of the murder, one that happens in Benton Hills, which is one of Tallahassee's most upscale and revered neighborhoods. Now, we know this story. It is the type of neighborhood where random violence does not happen. If someone has gunned you down in Benton Hills, they did it on purpose. Initially, there's not a lot to go on other than the neighbor who reported the car speeding away from the scene, a light-colored Toyota Prius. Authorities keep going back to Wendy for more information, as she was arguably the closest to Dan, even though they were divorced. They're looking for any kind of a lead, anyone who might have had a grudge against Dan, for example. As beloved as Dan was within the FSU community, he did have a reputation as someone who loved to debate, just like a lawyer. As Matthew Scher told 2020 about Dan, quote, he could needle people. He could poke and prod. His friend Ethan further elaborated, saying, at some basic level, he liked to argue, and he liked to make sure people understood his arguments. And Wendy, who'd had her fair share of arguments with Dan, tells police her ex-husband was, quote, emotionally abusive, claiming she kept that aspect of her marriage secret from her friends, but that her family had witnessed how he treated her. And when cops ask her if there was anyone who might have a beef with Dan, she calmly mentions the guy she's been seeing, Jeffrey LaCase, saying that he does not like Dan because, quote, Danny hurt me. I see why he's a good suspect. She further seems to point the finger at Jeff as the possible culprit, saying, quote, like, what if it is Jeff? Like, and I did this by asking for some time away from him? I made him crazy? Wow. Well, Jeff comes in to be interviewed, and he has thoughts and feelings about Wendy, telling police that she is, quote, very charismatic. I am not the only man that's been under her thumb in that way. You'd throw yourself in front of a bus for this girl. So at first glance, it sounds like Jeff maybe might possibly would do something as over the top as murder the ex-husband of this woman who's bewitched him, so to speak. He further tells police that Wendy seemed scared of Dan, that he wondered if maybe Dan used to beat Wendy. He confesses that he thought that they, meaning the police, would be knocking on his door much sooner because, quote, I probably said 100 times in public that I'd like to kick his ass because he kept, like, really making Wendy suffer. In the next breath, Jeff basically says, you know what, don't believe anything I say. I'm a professor. I'm basically full of it. You know, I'm not going around trying to kill anybody. And in fact, Jeff and Wendy were in the process of mutually breaking up. And besides, he has an airtight alibi, as he was in Atlanta and he's got the receipts. Jeff LaCase is not the guy, but he has some very definite ideas about who is the guy, namely Wendy's family. Next week on part 2 of All in the Family, the web of deceit around who wanted Dan Markell dead grows ever more sinister, leading to a jaw-dropper of a reveal. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes, and you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about The Dark Side of Love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side.